Hello, this is Steve Harriman, and I welcome you to this NetQOS recorded briefing titled, How to Succeed with Application Delivery. If you read popular industry publications like Network World and Network Computing, you will have noticed the sharp increase over the last couple of years in coverage of wide area networking, and in particular, issues and technologies related to the performance of applications running over the WAN. This is hardly surprising, given the criticality of the network infrastructure in application service delivery. Today's far-flung enterprises, data center consolidations, offshoring, new distributed application architectures, and just the sheer number of people who need to access critical applications over the network are driving the need for effective, proactive management of application delivery. For network managers, architects, and engineers, this is a new charter. For years, network professionals have focused on monitoring and controlling infrastructure metrics to ensure high availability and adequate network capacity. While necessary, these disciplines are no longer sufficient, as application performance, measured by end-user response times, takes center stage. New skills, processes, and tools are required. And most importantly, and perhaps most challenging, a new level of collaboration is needed between functional teams in the IT organization. In a recent NetQOS customer survey of network professionals, more than 80% said they are responsible for managing application performance. But of course, the network is just one element in application delivery. The responsibility for application performance is federated across the network, systems, and applications groups. To help us delve deeper into the subject of application delivery, I'm delighted to introduce our guest speaker, Dr. Jim Metzler. I expect Jim's name is familiar to you, as he is a well-known industry analyst, a frequent contributor to networking publications, a sought-after speaker at industry events, and an advisor to technology investors and enterprise IT organizations. Jim's latest research is focused on application delivery, and his latest research paper, co-sponsored by NetQOS and other technology vendors, is available at no cost on the NetQOS website at www.netqos.com/application-delivery. In this briefing, Jim discusses his research findings and recommendations for successful application delivery.
Thanks, Steve, and I'm really delighted for the opportunity to spend some time talking about the work I've been doing on what I believe is a very important topic, and that's the topic of application delivery. Now, if we go to the second slide in the presentation, I have a couple of very clear goals and non-goals. One of my goals, I want to talk about the factors that are causing application delivery to become more and more difficult. But I don't want to just spend today saying, oh, gee, what a tough problem, bye. I also want to give some insight to how companies can work to get better at application delivery on a going forward basis. I really have two non-goals. One's listed here, and that's to be unduly definitive. IT organizations are unique. What works in one organization may or may not work in another organization. In addition, this topic, application delivery, is very broad and very complex. I don't want to pretend in a 20-minute conversation we can be that detailed and solve too many problems. We can give insight. We definitely can do that. I have another non-goal, and that is I'm not going to read every bullet on every slide. I'll speak to every slide. I'm not going to spend the listener's time going over every single bullet. Now, if we go to slide 3, a very important premise here. I sincerely believe that if you work in IT, you have one of two functions. You either develop applications or you deliver applications. Now, we don't tend to think of it that way today. We tend to say, oh, I do local area networks, or I do wide area networks, or servers, or storage, or security. I think for us, though, to get better, I strongly believe for us to get better, we not only have to think about application delivery in a more holistic fashion, we have to plan for it and do operations in a more holistic fashion, and I'll explain that as I move forward. Now, if we go to the next slide, slide 4, and Steve, you mentioned about all the press coverage on application delivery. You're exactly right. You're hard-pressed to pick up any of the trade magazines and not have an article discussing application delivery. Having said that, my concern is that in almost every instance when they're talking about application delivery, what they're really talking about is just network and application optimization. the caching, compression, protocol acceleration. And those are very, very, very important concepts. However, and Steve, you and I had this conversation a couple of times, in 75, 80, 85% of the cases that an application is degrading, the end user notices it before the IT organization does. Just doing caching, compression, protocol acceleration isn't going to solve that problem. And yet, if we don't solve that problem, there's no way we can claim we're successful with application delivery. So with that concept in mind, let's go to the next slide. I suggest that for us to be successful with application delivery, there are really four key functions we have to do. And I'll walk through in more detail each one of these functions. But there's a planning function. And yes, indeed, there is a network and application optimization function. I'm not saying that's not important. I'm just saying that the issue of application delivery is broader than just network and application optimization. There's very clearly a management function and a control function. Now let's go to slide 6. I want to begin to say a few words about the application environment as I see it. And that first bullet that I have there really talks to what I like to refer to as the CYA approach versus the CIO approach. And the CYA approach says, I'm going to go buy a tool, and when there's a problem with an application, I'm going to use that tool to print out some graphs and charts to prove it's not me. You know, I was talking to a CIO a few months ago, and he said to me, Jim, I've got 5 people to report to me, and I'm tired of each one of the 5 of them coming to me with all these graphs and charts showing the problem's not theirs, and yet we still are struggling to book sales orders over the web. The bottom line that CIO's take was, I don't mind your saying the problem's not yours, but you've got to help me solve the problem. And I think for us to be successful as organizations and as IT professionals, we do have to migrate, again, from the CYA approach to the CIO approach. Now, I made a big deal that one of my non-goals is to read every bullet in every slide. So I'm actually going to read this particular bullet word for word. I believe the successful application delivery requires that IT organizations are able to identify the applications that are running on the network and are also able to ensure the acceptable performance of the applications that really matter to the business while controlling or eliminating the ones that aren't relevant. Getting back to the fact that I believe application delivery is more than just network and application optimization, if you have recreational applications running on your network, people are playing Doom, people are doing gambling, people are listening to internet radio. I believe that successful application delivery means we have to identify those applications and either limit their use or maybe control them. We don't want to just make them go faster and better. We do want to identify the 2, 3, 5, 6 applications that really matter and make sure they get whatever IT resources they need to perform in an acceptable way. Now, if we move off to slide 7, and again, I'm not going to walk people through each one of these bullets, but there are a number of factors that are really driving the application environment and that really make managing application performance more and more challenging. One of which is chatty applications. And a chatty application or a chatty protocol, what that means is there are tens or hundreds of application turns back and forth, if you will, for a single transaction. Well, if you have 100 back and forth, 100 application turns over a LAN with a couple of microseconds of delay, you can't tell that. If you're running that over the wide area network with 100 milliseconds of delay, now suddenly you've got 10, 15, 20 seconds of delay just due to the chattiness. Application complexity, a thing that really concerns me, if I think of the typical 3-tier application today, and we have a client sitting on a PC at a branch office accessing a web server, and the web server then accesses a database server. Well, the communication between the web server and the database server occurs in a data center over a high-speed, low-latency LAN, so that's usually not too much of a problem. And the impact on the network is at one place between the client and the web server. As we move to an SOA, services-oriented architecture, with web services, we're now going to have a situation in which an application is comprised of 8, 10, 12, 15 web services. And in most cases, they're going to reside in multiple data centers. Very commonly, they reside in 3, 4, 5, 6 data centers. Now the impact of the WAN occurs in all those cases in which a web service in one data center interacts with a web service in a different data center. So as opposed to the WAN impacting the performance in one instance, it's now 3, 4, 5, 6. That's going to be a tremendous, tremendous driver of complexity. It's also going to be a tremendous driver of making application performance both worse and harder to solve. If I move off to the next slide, slide 8, I now want to walk through the four components of that model, starting with the planning component. And as I said I was going to do, and as I did on the last slide, I'm not going to read every bullet on the slide. I will be obviously expanding on many of these bullets in that paper that you referred to, Steve. Anyway, in terms of the planning function, a key component of the planning function is to profile an application prior to deploying it. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Another key component is to baseline the network. You put those two together, if you baseline the network, you understand how the network's performing. You understand how that performance has been changing over time, and some insight to how it might continue to change over time. So you have that thorough understanding quantified, fact-based, if you will. And then you have an understanding of the application. The understanding is what information flows between the client and the web server, between the web server and the database server. Gee, as WAN latency increases, what happens to the performance of the application? Those two pieces of information is seminal to be able to control or manage application delivery. Gee, I know how the network is now. I have an understanding of what the application requires. I'm now in a position to say, gee, can I roll out that application? Will the network support it? If I move to the next slide, and that's slide 9, I'm a little surprised, Steve. From the work I've done, less than half the IT organizations have a target for the performance of their key applications. I want to stop for a second. The companies that I deal with, Fortune 500 companies, typically have 200, 300, 400, maybe 500 applications. I am not saying you should profile 500 applications. That's just too much work. It's never going to get done, so it would be a silly recommendation. What I am saying, though, is for these companies I deal with that might have 300 or 400 applications, there are typically 4, 5, 6 that are mission-critical and delay-sensitive. Now, we know what delay-sensitive means. We use this phrase mission-critical all the time. Let me say, from my definition, an application is mission-critical if very important people scream very loudly if it performs badly. Another way to say that, if the application performs badly, it impacts your next review. Given that kind of a definition, we're not talking about 500 applications, but maybe 5. But even in that context, the folks I was talking to and working with say, no, we typically don't have a target for the performance of even those 4, 5, 6 key applications. To me, that's a big deal. That's a big deal because if you have those targets, you can use that to make design decisions either for the application or for the network itself. Without them, things become more subjective, and it really, in my mind, exacerbates what I often see, and that's an adversarial relationship between the network group and the applications group. And I apologize for being cute with that other bullet here that says hope is not a strategy. But the research that I've done recently is very, very, very clear. The number one impediment to successful application delivery is that we don't have effective processes. I'm not saying that nobody does. I've dealt with some companies recently that are really working on that, that have made some progress in that direction. But the number one issue to successful application delivery is effective processes. Now, if you think about it as an aside, you think about the complexity of application delivery in that you have to be application development group. Yes, you do have the LAN, the WAN, the SAN, the OS, the database, security, et cetera. We're talking about having effective processes that transcend multiple technologies and multiple organizations. At one level, it's perfectly obvious that they're not going to be all that impactful. That's a very, very difficult thing to achieve. Now, if we move off to slide 10, and I mentioned a few minutes ago the importance of profiling an application. it is difficult to understand. It is difficult for an IT organization to say, gee, here's what we should do to ensure this new application will perform well, or, gee, people have been complaining about an existing application. What steps should we take to improve the performance? We really haven't profiled the network. We're kind of guessing. We come down to, well, gee, maybe if we somehow can reduce the WAN latency, maybe that will improve the performance. Or if we say, well, gee, maybe if we host the application closer to the user, that will do the performance. Oh, I know it. Let's put some compression in. Don't mean to be sarcastic, but without having that profile, without understanding the information flow within the application, you're just guessing. And part of the problem with guessing is it's tough to go to management and justify an investment without those kinds of facts to back it up. Now, having said that, I've worked with a lot of companies recently, and they'll benchmark or they'll trial or they'll do something with an application a week or two before it goes into production. And that's a good thing. I'm not putting that down. Sometimes, as a result of that, you can make some minor changes to the application. You certainly can do some work at that stage to set the expectation of the end users. But if your company has just spent $5 million developing a new application and you trial it in your lab a week before it goes live and it really performs badly over the WAN, in most cases, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to keep that application from running on the wide area network. That's why I say in this slide, successful application delivery means that the application delivery folks are involved relatively early on, either in the development of an application or the process of acquiring a third-party application. And their role is to make sure, to the degree possible, that this application will perform well over the wide area network. I also make the comment on this slide that potentially this relationship needs to begin at the architectural level. I was talking to a company recently, Steve, that I think really has their act together in this regard. And the CIO issued a mandate that he wanted an end to the finger pointing between the network group and the apps group. He really wanted to improve application delivery. And they are in the process of setting up an architecture group, if you will, that sits above either the apps group or the network group or the server group, to look at this problem holistically. The idea here being that there may well be a reason, architecturally, from the application perspective, to deploy a chatty protocol or a chatty content management system or something like that, but if that's going to be the approach they take for good technical or good business reasons, then they have to make some architectural decisions around the rest of the infrastructure. What does that mean for the management function, for the optimization function, et cetera, and make those balanced architectural decisions. I'm not telling you they're there today doing that and it's working. I'm telling you they're heading in that direction, they're committed to doing it. And you had mentioned, Steve, in your introduction, you know, the idea we've been doing baselining and some of these functions historically, which you certainly have, around capacity planning. And I don't really have anything against the idea of capacity planning. However, I don't think going forward we want to continue the focus on the utilization of resources, be that a WAN circuit, a server, a router, CPU, memory, whatever else like that. It's difficult to say, oh, yes, the performance of SAP degraded because the WAN circuit ran at 86% utilization. We can say in many cases that the performance of SAP degraded because the WAN delay was 400 milliseconds. My point there is application performance is directly related to delay, whether that's in the WAN, the server, the database, et cetera. We typically focus on utilization as a surrogate for delay. To be successful on a going forward basis, we need to begin to turn this around and focus less on utilization and more on what was really important, and in part that's delay. Now, if you move off to slide 11, network and application optimization, there are all kinds of techniques that people can use to do that. In fact, the following slide, slide 12, lists some of them. I want to look at this more from a 100,000-foot view to give the listener some insight as we're really trying to get done with network and application optimization. One key concept, one key component of network and application optimization is to reduce the amount of data sent over the WAN. Gee, if there's this 100 meg file, inventory file, customer list, whatever it is, if I have to send that out to every branch office every day, that's a tremendous challenge. Can I compress that? Can I cache it? Can I find ways not to send the 100 meg, but 5 meg, 10 meg, 20 meg? That's what that refers to. Ensuring that the WAN link is never idle if there's data to send. In some cases, if, say, people on the east coast of the U.S. are shipping large files to India or some other place far away, the TCP window size comes into effect. And the TCP window size says there's a fixed amount of information you can send before you have to stop and wait for an acknowledgement. I refer to that stopping and waiting for acknowledgement as twiddling your thumbs. Well, if you want to get that file there on a timely basis, you probably don't want to send some and then twiddle your thumbs. Send some more and twiddle your thumbs. There are some techniques around TCP optimization, TCP acceleration, to eliminate that problem. I referred before to chatty protocols. So anything we can do to avoid having to do 50 or 100 or 200 round trips for a single transaction, again, an approach that may work perfectly well over a local area network, and in many cases will work perfectly fine over, say, an Ethernet-based metropolitan area network. But won't work well at all if you're going East Coast, West Coast and getting 80, 100, 120 milliseconds of round-trip delay. And something we don't talk about quite as much, but in the old SNA environment, IBM's SNA, where we had these mainframe computers, we used to have a device in front of it called a front-end processor. And the role of that front-end processor was to do all the computationally intensive communications processing. Basically, it would terminate all of the private lines, the multipoint private lines that comprised SNA, and hand a more efficient feed off to the mainframe. The idea being this front-end processor was designed to do just that. The mainframe wasn't designed to do that. It took an awful lot of the resources of that mainframe to do that. Well, let's do all that functioning, all that processing, and a device that's designed for that. We have the same concept now. We sometimes refer to it as an application front-end. We'll put an application front end in front of a bunch of servers, and it'll do tasks like SSL offload. SSL offload means, gee, SSL is a wonderful protocol. It gives us a lot of the security we need. It's computationally intensive. If we do that processing on the servers, if we do too much of it, the servers have no resources left to actually process an application. We move off to slide 12. And, Steve, I'm not going to spend time really going over any of these techniques. There are lots of articles, I've written a number of them, that really explain in detail each of these techniques and the applicability of such. I do, however, want to move off to slide 13. I'm going to spend a moment here because these two, in my mind, are very, very, very important concepts. People that are looking to deploy a network and application optimization solution, the first bullet here says you really need to know what problem you're trying to solve. What I mean by that is there are gobs of vendors out there today that will sell you a solution. No vendor will claim their solution solves all problems. So for you to be successful with deploying this solution, you need to understand, gee, what kind of problem am I trying to solve? Do I have a narrowly defined tactical problem? I send big files between Minneapolis and Beijing. If that's the case, then maybe what you need is to put a compression device on each end of that one link and be done with it. On the other hand, if your company is rolling out more and more distributed applications, they're using some kind of content management system that's chatty, you're hosting this application in one place, users from around the globe are accessing it, you'll probably need a broader-based system deployed everywhere that has more functionality in it. And, oh, by the way, if along the lines you're deploying voice over IP, which is more of an any-to-any type of application, then you're going to need a solution that doesn't assume a hub-and-spoke solution. Bottom line, for you to be successful, you need a pretty good handle on what the problem is. Now, having done that, you can listen to the vendor pitches of what their products do. They'll give you third-party test results. And those third-party test results are fine. They're important. They give you some insight to how that solution might work. But the second bullet in this slide says, once you've chosen a solution or two that you think might be appropriate, you need to try it in your environment. I mean, a simple example of that, Steve, if someone said to me, well, gee, the compression people are deploying, What kind of compression results can I get? Can I get 2-to-1? Can I get 5-to-1? And I hate to sound like a consultant, but the answer is it depends. There's some traffic, for example, text, that you can get high degrees of compression. Voice over IP, you probably can't compress it at all. So that your results you're going to get from any of these techniques really depend on your particular situation, your traffic types, your network. And the only way to really find out the effect is to try the solution in your environment. Let's move on to slide 14, the management function. We've talked about the planning function. We've talked about the network and application optimization function. Let's spend a few minutes talking about management. Discovery. Discovering the applications that are running over the network, who's using them, what are they doing. Now, in point of fact, I look at a function like discovery as a building block. What I mean by that is discovery belongs in the planning function also. Gee, before you're going to roll out a new ERP application, I should understand the applications that are running today, how they're being used, so I can get a sense of, will this new application fit? So I don't want to try to squirrel, if you will, a function like discovery just into the management piece. Same as baselining. It belongs in the ongoing management. It belongs in the planning function also. It's very critical in my mind to gather the appropriate management data on the performance of the applications. Why? I really already talked about that. I said, gee, 80% of the time, roughly, if an application is degrading, the end user notices it before IT does. And I feel very strongly that none of us can claim we're successful with application delivery as long as that's the case. So we need to be able to gather the appropriate data on the performance of the application. And I don't just mean so that, boy, 5 minutes before the user calls us, we know there's a problem. But we need to be able to get the information. And I want to be a little bit careful here. I mean, it would be easy to say with a thorough and accurate root cause analysis. And we do want that. I think we have to be a little bit careful today in terms of our expectations, given the complexity of application delivery. Again, the involvement of applications and their chattiness, the involvement of the LAN, the WAN, the SAN, the database, the this or that, the something else. We're not going to find any tool out there today that for any situation of application degradation will every time pinpoint what the cause was. That is not a reasonable expectation today. We can, however, move to having tools that do a good job of identifying a possible set of what could be wrong so that, yes, we know about the problem before the end user does. We've already narrowed down what the likely sources of that problem are. That's achievable today. I move off to slide 15, and I'm just repeating on slide 15 what I had said, that we shan't be regarded as being successful as long as the end user notices problems before we do. And, again, it could be a variety of things that are causing us this problem. And I'll point out, again, that's an issue from a technical perspective. It means that our tools have got to be able to work over the networks, LAN, WAN, SAN, the database, the servers, the application level. But it also, getting back to the issue of process, says our processes for resolving these problems have to transcend organization. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. I was talking with a gentleman recently. He said, Jim, in our organization, if the application is degrading, the assumption is the network is guilty until proven innocent. And so he said, I spent half my day defending the network, and if I can show that it's not a network problem, then his phrase was, it then bounces around IT. It goes over to the server group next, and they're guilty until proven innocent. And if not them, then it bounces to the application group, et cetera. That is a good example of what I don't mean by an effective process. That's more a blame game, getting back to the CYA versus CIO approach I referred to before. Let's move off to slide 16, control, which is really the fourth part of the model. When I think about control, I think about a whole variety of things. Obviously, there's been a lot written recently about network access control because security is a big part of application delivery. It's a big part for so many reasons. Obviously, if there are security vulnerabilities and people can come in and do a denial of service attack, a SIM flood attack, that's going to affect performance. It's a big deal because we're doing more SSL, which is a fine protocol, but it consumes resources. So we can't really talk about application delivery without also talking about security. We also want to make sure than starting with the desktop, that we have an available, highly performant desktop that's not loaded down with extraneous files and spyware and adware that's, again, creating both security vulnerabilities but also performance problems. Now, if I move to the next slide, slide 17, I mentioned about the desktop, and typically you get a new desktop and the day you get it is clean, and the performance kind of begins to degrade once you turn it on and start to use it. But I want to talk about the issue of QoS, quality of service. In my mind, QoS is a very simple concept. If you have instances where you expect you'll have more traffic than the network can handle, if you think about it, we designed the local area network for blazing speed, 10 meg, 100 meg, gig, 10 gig. The technologies exist to do that in the wide area network. You can get an OC3 from the East Coast to the West Coast of the U.S., 155 megabits. Just most people can't afford that. So we designed the LAN for blazing speed. We typically design the WAN around money. And given that, for most companies, not all, there'll be times when the demand exceeds the capacity. That alone does not mean you need QoS. It's really two things. There have to be times in which the demand exceeds the capacity. And at the same time, there have to be those business-critical applications that I mentioned, the delay-sensitive. If you don't have that, if you say, no, we do a lot of bulk file transfer, then you potentially do not need QoS. That files will get there if you've got a large enough window or you've got to ship a big file to, now, Ireland overnight, but you've got 8 hours to do it, and it typically takes an hour or two, you probably don't need QoS. Now, I want to move off to the summary and try to pull some concepts together here. Over the last 2, 3, 4 years, application delivery has crossed the chasm, by that I mean it's become mainstream, in terms of people acknowledging, yes, that's something we have to focus on. We have to do a better job of managing application performance. Steve, I don't believe it's crossed the chasm in terms of companies, or the majority of companies, even a good percentage, saying, and we do a good job of that today. Some of my best examples, and I gave a few of them today, are of companies that I think are heading in the right direction, but none of them are saying to me, Jim, you know, we used to do a kind of a poor job. Now we've really improved. We're doing a really good job. That's not where we're at today. I also sincerely believe, as I said a few times, application delivery is a lot broader than just network and application optimization. There is the planning component. There is the optimization, the ongoing management, and there's the control component, which need to be, I don't want to overstate this. I want to say which need to be tightly integrated. I don't want to make this problem sound so difficult that people say, well, that's much too difficult a problem for me to solve. I'm going to keep going and doing things the status quo. And that's why I said I'm not talking about profiling 500 applications, but five. Let's make this a doable task. And I just want to do one more bullet, and then I'll conclude. Successful application delivery also clearly requires a combination of tools and processes. I was very, very struck by the research. Again, it was very clear from both the survey work, the interviews, et cetera, that the number one issue today is not technology but processes. Now, having said that, like any system, once you take away a limiting factor here, a limiting factor over there turns up. What I mean by that is I also sincerely believe as we get better with our processes, whether that's by using IDLE or some other framework, we will then realize we do need, if not better tools, we need the tools, like I mentioned, that give us the detailed, accurate insight into the root cause of application degradation. Folks, I really do want to thank you so much for listening today. I am working on a much more detailed report. I have worked on that, and it's available through NetQoS. Thank you, folks.
Again, for a free copy of Jim's latest research paper on application delivery, please go to www.netqos.com/application-delivery. I hope you enjoyed this briefing, and I encourage you to explore other related materials on the NetQoS website and on the vendor-neutral web resource for network professionals, netperformance.com. I want to thank Jim Metzler for providing his insights and recommendations for successful application delivery in this briefing.
On behalf of NetQOS, this is Steve Harriman wishing you a very good day.